Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're talking about the resurrection. We're talking about God's will for our lives this particular month. And really, we are unable to participate in God's will apart from the resurrection
Correct.
Of Jesus Christ. So our tagline, just listening to Bob do the introduction there, hear it, believe it, live it. And the resurrection is really the thing that allows us to live out this good news of Jesus Christ in our day-to-day existence. So it's a powerful truth that we know, that we get to live in each and every day. So this resurrection just isn't a historical fact. It is something that impacts us on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. And here's what I mean by that. In John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus said this, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. So we have to have the commands of God, then we have to obey them, and that's proof that we love Jesus. It's very simple, isn't it? So a lot of folks will interpret this, you know, in order to prove that we love Jesus, we have to live up to those Ten Commandments. Well, every time we try, we figure out, well, I must not love Jesus because I can't do it. But Jesus was very clear. He said, obeying Jesus' commands is proof that we love him. But what commands? That's the question.
Yes.
What commands is Jesus talking about? Is he referring to the Ten Commandments, or is he referring to the 16 or 613 other commandments of the law? Or did he have different commands in mind altogether? Now, the writer of Hebrews answers this question for us in the seventh chapter. And this is really a significant chapter, isn't it? So what does he say in that particular chapter about priesthood and laws and that sort of thing?
Well, let me summarize and then give the key verse. There's a problem with perfection under the Mosaic Covenant, including the Ten Commandments. We can't achieve that perfection. Now we've got a problem. So something new is required, and this is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And here's what he says in verse 12. For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord, who was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, said nothing about priests. So, new covenant requires a new priest. A new priest requires a new law.
Yes.
Jesus is that priest. He is the priest of promise, not the priest of law.
Right. So, when there's a change of the priesthood, there is a change of the law.
Yes.
So, completely new sheriff in town, a new way of doing things. I put in the devotional day that the new covenant really is a changing of the guard. The Levites
Yes.
were the stewards of the old covenant. It was placed into their hands to guard the tabernacle, to serve in the tabernacle, to serve in the temple as well. They were stewards of the law.
Yes.
They made sure that it was enforced or carried out among the people of Israel. Well, their priesthood came to an end. It came to an end the day that Jesus died. And
Yes.
then when he was resurrected, he became our eternal priest. And this is exactly how the writer of Hebrews goes on to explain that in verse 23 of chapter 7. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. So for 1,500 years, the priesthood went from generation to generation
Yes.
to generation in the tribe of Levi.
Yes.
So Aaron was the first high priest. Every high priest thereafter was a member of his bloodline. Mm-hmm. Then other members of the Levitical priesthood came from the line of Levi, and each one had a different function within
Yes.
the tabernacle. Some did some things, others did other things, but you know, you would fulfill your duty, and then you would pass it on to the next generation, and then you would pass it on to the next generation. So there were many of those in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them or on their behalf.
Yes.
So here's where the resurrection comes into play.
Yes.
All right, the Levites, they fulfilled their duties, mm-hmm. died, passed it on to the next generation. Jesus died but was raised again. He has an indestructible life. He lives forever. Therefore, he can save us to the uttermost.
Yes.
And when he does save us to the uttermost, he gives us a new set of laws to carry out. Not the old order, but the new order. So what are these laws? It's the law of faith, hope, and love. We see that in the Great Love chapter. But the greatest of these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So in Romans 3:27, for example, we see the phrase, the law of faith. Where is our boasting? Is it excluded? Yes. Is it excluded on the law of works? Absolutely not, but by the law of faith. So what has God put into our hearts by his Spirit? This law of faith. We have the law of hope. We've been born again into a living hope. We have Christ Jesus in us, our hope of glory. So now we are anchored to hope, something that's sure, eternal, secure for us. We're certain of what our future is. And then we have the law of love. The greatest of these is love. God has poured that into our hearts by his Spirit. So we have the law of the Spirit of life. We have the law of Christ. We have the law of liberty. All of these things are the commands that God has placed inside of us.
Yes.
This new priest has given us a new law that is summed up in these words, faith, hope, and love. And through the power of the resurrection, through Christ Jesus living in us, then we are able to live in this new plane of life where faith is the way, hope is the anchor, love is the expression. That's what this new resurrection life is all about.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about it more on today's edition of Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Richard Pfeiffer. Welcome to the program. We are glad that you have tuned in, that you have joined us. If you have a question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742 is the number. I want to remind you that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We rely on contributions from people just like you. So if this ministry has benefited you, you've grown in the grace of God, you've grown in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you stand with us, be a partner in helping others grow in grace, helping others grow in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what the world needs now more than anything, a solid, clear, simple truth about God himself.
Yes.
What is God like? Well, we have that truth. It's been given to us in Jesus Christ. Let's do everything that we can to get the true knowledge of God out there in the world today. It changes everything. So we need your help. We need your partnership. You can join with us by going to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate link and follow all the instructions. While you're there, request your copy of our resource for this month. It's called God's Will for You. We want you to know and experience God's will. That's why we've come out with this CD. It's a single CD message. I think it will take the confusion out of God's will for you and put you on a straight path of knowing that right now, because you're in Christ, you're right in the center of God's will. But come along, be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. Be a partner. Join us today at basicgospel.net. Again, the number to call, 844-322-2742. Call right now, 844-322-2742. 2742.
Well, we have an email question from Stephanie, who writes from South Carolina, and it goes right along with what we've been talking about. How can I be godly and loving to ungodly and unloving family members? That's a rubber meet the road.
That is a rubber meet the road question, isn't it? And we all go through that.
Yes.
I mean, it's not that that's just unique to her. That's just not her story. We all struggle with loving people that we think are unlovable. Mm-hmm. Usually people that disagree with us, usually folks that are on the other side of a platform as far as an issue is concerned. We have trouble loving those sort of people. The Republicans have trouble loving the Democrats. The Democrats, the Republicans. I mean, we could just come up with a whole list of unlovables, so to speak. So how do we step out of our comfort zone and really genuinely, authentically love people that we think are unlovable? And it really gets back to the grace of God. It gets back to growing in our understanding of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. He exhibited patience toward each and every one of us, and that patience toward us meant our salvation.
Yes.
God does not want anyone to perish, but wants all to come to repentance. And within that framework, he talks about patience, and he talks about the fact that patience means salvation. So God was patient with me. God was patient with you. God is patient with each and every one of us. So if we're going to love people, then we need to draw upon that same patience that God has had for us. So as God has loved us, we love others.
Yes.
So patience is a big aspect of that. And patience requires understanding. A lot of times we're impatient because we don't understand where another person's coming from, what's really important to them. We haven't taken the time to listen. So I think we need to take the time to listen. That's a part of that patience, and get to know a person, find out what's really going on in their hearts and souls. I've said time and time again, Richard, that Christianity is known for the fact that we are interested in the souls of men, that this message is all about saving the souls of men and women across this planet. Well, if that's true, then we should be interested in finding out what's actually happening in the souls of men. And I think as we take the time, are patient, take the time to listen, to find out, then we're going to be able to find some common ground and some ways to genuinely love. And that act of patience is an act of love, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's exactly what God has called us to do. Now, a lot of times we mistake love for like. So we think we're supposed to like everyone and want to be best friends with them and, you know, just go out and hang out and do all of that. Well, that's not necessarily the case. But we can still love, be patient, be kind, persevere, protect, all of those things, people that we don't necessarily like. And I think that's how we do that with our family members.
Yeah. Notice the contrast here. What you just described is so completely different than what is described in the law. The law says, don't kill. Jesus expanded on that, explained it to say, if you're angry with someone, you've already committed murder.
Right.
Okay, so what are you going to do with that, right? You ask a question, how can I be more godly and more loving? I can't.
Yes.
If this isn't coming from inside of us as the result of the resurrected Jesus and his life inside of us by the Holy Spirit, none of this is possible.
Right.
And so don't get stuck in the law and try to behave your way into something. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus and let him change you from the inside out.
Right, right. And don't judge how well you're doing by your feelings. We're always quick to judge. Mm-hmm. Did I do okay today? Did I do okay yesterday? And that sort of thing. Leave the results in God's hands. Don't worry so much over all of that and be so hard on yourself. And I think when you are a little more relaxed, then it's more easy to love others.
Yes.
Well, let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk with Autumn. This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. Autumn, you're on the air with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. I have a question about repentance. I'm not secure in my salvation because I'm not sure I have repented sufficiently.
Well, let me ask you this, Autumn, and I think that's a great question.
Yes, it
and
is.
Certainly that is somewhat of a scary thought, isn't it? Not sure of your salvation because you're not sure if you've repented sufficiently enough. Well, let me ask you this question. What is the basis for your salvation?
Faith in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
His resurrection.
Is there anything that you're adding to that? I mean, in other words, in your mind, is Jesus alone the source of your salvation? Are you saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone? Or have you added to that?
The thing is, the Bible clearly speaks of repentance.
Well, repentance is a change of mind. But it's also moving away from one source of life to another source of life. Okay, so you've recognized the emptiness that's out there in the world. You've recognized the emptiness of your own heart and soul apart from Christ Jesus. You've come to grips with that, and now you've said, hey, Jesus alone is my source of life, my source of salvation. So there's been a move, hasn't there? There's been a move in your heart and mind away from the things of this world onto Jesus Christ. That's what repentance is, isn't it?
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Okay. So, Autumn, I bet you're thinking that repentance is... you know, I've repented of every sin. I no longer sin, and I no longer want to sin. I never have desire to sin. And because those fleshly desires are still there, you're still thinking some of those same old thoughts, you're starting to question if you've repented sufficiently enough. Well, I think that's a wrong understanding of repentance. Because the word repentance is all about a changing of your mind and a changing of your location away from the things of this world into Christ Jesus. Does that make sense?
Okay. It does.
Okay. So let me talk to you a little bit, Autumn, about what salvation is. So here's the gospel story. Jesus died for you according to the scriptures. He was buried. And on the third day, he was raised back to life according to the scriptures. So that's the gospel. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, was people saw him, over 500 people at one time, the disciples, James, the apostle Paul. And so they've testified that Jesus was crucified, dead, buried, and on the third day, he was raised to life. That's the story. That's the good news. And because he was raised back to life, it means that he's overcome sin. He's overcome your sin. So he died to take away your sin once and for all. And because he was raised back to life, he's overcome death, your death. So sin and death no longer have power. Jesus Christ ripped the power right out of their hands in his death, burial, and resurrection, which means, Autumn, you can stand before God as holy and righteous, and you can trust him to actually make you alive together with Christ. So when you believe, or when you believed, Autumn, here's what happened to you. You were dead spiritually, and by grace, you were made alive together with Christ. You crossed over from death to life. So you were once dead, under the control of sin and death, living out the ways of this world. You came to the end of that life. You received new life in Jesus. That's what repentance is all about. And now you've crossed over from death to life. You're fully alive in Christ, which means your sins have been totally forgiven. You stand before God as righteous and holy in God's sight, and that can never change. And you have the hope of everlasting life and the promise that Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Now,
and I believe that with all my heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Okay.
And that he was raised on the third day. I know that. I know that.
Okay.
I know that happened.
Yeah. You know it happened, and you know it happened for you, right?
Right.
Right. So that's what repentance is.
But it happened on Calvary. I mean, it happened at Calvary, I believe.
Right. He died to take away your sins. Third day, he was raised back to life. He's alive now, and he made you alive at a point in time. And maybe that's what you're struggling. You're not sure if he actually made you alive. See, that's what salvation is, okay? Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Okay. So today you can say in your own heart, Lord, God, I know you raised Jesus from the dead, and I'm gonna announce with my lips, confess with my lips that Jesus is Lord. And I am going to put my full weight of trust in you to make me alive together with Christ and to come and live inside of me forever. Because that's what salvation is. Is that something that you would like to do?
I would.
Okay. Well, Autumn, it would just be my privilege and an incredible blessing to lead you in that crossover.
Okay.
And here's what I'd like to do. I'm just going to pray, and then I'll ask you to pray along with me. So I will say a phrase, and then if you'll just repeat that after me, okay?
Okay.
And it's not the prayer that saves. It's the belief in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and the confessing with your lips that Jesus is Lord, okay?
Yes.
Okay. So let's pray, Autumn.
Okay.
Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins.
Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins.
Taking them away once and for all.
Taking them away once and for all.
So that I could stand before you as a forgiven person.
I could stand before you as a forgiven person.
Thank you for coming back to life.
Thank you for coming back to life.
And offering me your life right now.
And offering me your life right now.
So by faith, I receive that life.
I receive that life.
Because I know in my heart.
I know in my heart.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
And that today I'm confessing with my lips.
Today I'm confessing with my lips.
That Jesus is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
And I thank you for making me alive.
Thank you for making me alive.
And coming to live in me forever.
Coming to live in me.
Forever.
Forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So Autumn, repentance is all about seeing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I think God has been working that in you for a long time, and today was just the final aspect of that, where your mind has fully believed that Jesus is your life right here, right now. Here's what I want to do for you, Autumn. We're running out of time on the broadcast, but I want to put you on hold. We have some wonderful resources that we want to send to you. And this will help you understand exactly what has taken place, okay? So I'm going to put you on hold. Michelle is going to pick up with you. She's going to get your name and address, and we'll get those materials in your hands as quickly as possible, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, we're so glad you called. You hold the line. You just made our day, okay?
Sure did.
Thank you.
All right. You hang on. Well, it's always good to meet a new brother or sister in Christ. Today we met Autumn. Folks, thank you all for making this possible. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.